The far left is small, then medium, then large, and the far right is extra large. And there's CDs. Okay. Did any of you guys bring your Bibles with you? Open back up to Luke. Okay, someone brought it for you. Open up to Luke chapter 8. Nice. Going to look good on you. Everybody looks good in blue and orange. It's a fact. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. She's still deliberating. If you don't like it, just email me. I'll send you a different one. Oh, my friend's in that one. No. Well, they're my friends too. Then the new one too. Okay, back to Luke chapter 8. Remember last night when I talked? We were talking about listening and we were talking about hearing. And Jesus spoke in parables and he said he did that so that people would see, but they really wouldn't see. Okay? He wanted them to hear what he was telling them, but he didn't really want them to understand because he was really separating those who were very serious about learning more about God and being one of his followers and those that were just following the crowd. I mean, how many people in those kinds of games, how many guys on any of those questions really knew the answer? When you said it, you're like, oh, I know the answer. You could be, it's okay, like three? Okay, one question, at least one question like, oh, I've heard that before. I was watching TV and I remember them saying the poison dart frog was the most poisonous vertebrate. You know, all this useless information that, you know, comes in handy to win a T-shirt. Pay attention, you never know. That's right, all your life's fulfillments will happen here. But most people are following, they're listening, and people are yelling, no, go this way, no, go that way. But everybody's on that side, but there's got to be at least one person on this side. What do I do? And so Jesus tried very hard to separate those people, not just the ones that were falling because everyone else was falling, not just the ones that wanted to see some, you know, magic trick happen, not the ones that just wanted a free lunch, okay, but the people who really wanted to understand, the people who really wanted to know Christ. And for those people, when he spoke in parables and they heard, but they didn't really understand, they kept following him. He said, whoever has an ear, let him hear. See ya. If you don't get it, sorry. You're hopeless. Well, we're not hopeless. I know it sounds kind of mean. That's a mean way of putting it. But what he says is, those who really want to figure out what that parable means, they're going to follow him. And they're going to ask questions. And they're going to keep asking him for the truth, the real truth, so that they can really understand. And the voice of truth is hard to hear when we have all these people screaming and yelling and running around. Have you guys watched The Price is Right? Yeah, one of my favorite things on The Price, of course, is Plinko. But another favorite thing on The Price is Right is when everybody's, you know, in contestants row and they're bidding on whatever item is up on stage. And when I was a college student, I got to go down there once and we're all jumping up and yelling. And I was on TV in the aisle going, and everything, and it was great. And my favorite thing is when all the contestants, they're bidding on, you know, something like an exercise bike. And I know a lot about exercise equipment, as you can tell. And everybody's bidding too high. I go, oh, this is impossible. And I start yelling. I remember being down there, and everyone's yelling out all these prices, and I know everybody's overbid because you can't go over. You got to be the closest to the actual retail price without going over. And I was the first one to yell out, $1! And then everyone starts yelling, $1, $1, $1. And the last person's up there going, what do I do? I don't know what to do. $1. And they won because everybody else overbid. It was great. I was like, yes, you have to share that exercise bike with me, whoever you are. They never did. And now here I am, out of shape. I should have caught up with them. But Jesus says in Luke chapter 8 last night, the passages that I read, Jesus says that if you listen, okay, remember in Luke chapter 8 with the parable of the farmer sowing the seed, he says, for those who have a good heart, who hear the word and who retain it and who persevere, they will produce a great crop. He says, to those who have been given, if they listen to his word, they'll be given more. He says to those, his real brothers, his real sisters, the ones that really matter to him, his real family, are those who hear God's word and who put it into practice. Now, going back to Luke chapter 8, I'm going to start reading a couple stories here in verse 22. Pick up where I left off last night. It says, one day Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. So they got in the boat and set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters and the storm subsided and all was calm. Where's your faith? He asked the disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. That's how powerful God's word is. Even the winds and the waves obey him, the forces of nature. Now, if you've ever been to the Sea of Galilee, some of you out here might have. I know Jim has. It's a freshwater lake, and when you go there, it's always you go on the boat ride, and it's nice and calm, and they usually have a CD playing. You know, we were there, and like if you see the video footage of last time I was at the Sea of Galilee, you hear in the background, Lord, I lift your name on high. And they got these praise CDs in the background and everything. It's really kind of interesting experience. And you know, it's calm, and you go to a restaurant, and everybody always eats St. Peter's fish for lunch. You know, it's like the trendy, they say it's the same kind of fish that St. Peter caught, you know, one of the apostles in the Sea of Galilee. All it is tilapia. You can get it at any store around here, and actually it's real trendy now, so they're jacking up the price. It used to be, you know, one of those real cheap kind of fish that you can buy at the market, but it's trendy and everything, so it's not that big a deal. But you go and get this experience, and you think it's nice and great, and oh, this is the water that Jesus walked on, and people will touch it, and they try and scoop it up and put it in a bottle and take it home. Free souvenir. But never when I've been there have I witnessed one of these storms. And really it's the geography that does it. The mountains that are kind of around the Sea of Galilee make it to where at a moment's notice there can be a huge raging storm over this freshwater lake. And most of Jesus' apostles grew up around that area. They knew about these storms. Most of them, well, some of them were even fishermen and lived on that lake and worked on that lake. They knew it like the back of their hand. This was their front yard. This was their backyard. They knew everything about it. You know? But still, they got scared. They get in the boat. They go out on the lake. Huge storm. They think they're going to die. Now, around here, I love the place where I grow up, and one of my favorite things about it, I love, you know, the local history and all the folklore and things like that, and there's a lot of haunted places. Who was I talking to last night about all the haunted houses and stuff like that? I don't see him. Where are they? Anyways, but there's a lot of haunted houses and a lot of ghosts and a lot of creepy haunts, you know, in this area. I'll show some of them to you maybe later. But one of my favorite things when I was a college student is I was in a fraternity that was a service club. And so we'd go out, we'd do great service projects. Sometimes we'd go to a soup kitchen and feed homeless people. Sometimes we'd just go up and down the highway picking up trash. One time one of our friends, they lived out in Simi Valley and their house got destroyed in an earthquake, in the Northridge earthquake. And so we actually went out there and helped do repairs on their house and things like that. So all kinds of different things. Well, one time, a bunch of guys in my fraternity, we all went to the church building, the church back home where I grew up at. And we all had a big sleepover in the fellowship hall, and we were going to do repairs and maintenance and all kind of stuff on the building and the property there. It was going to be great. But one of them said, hey, I remember you telling me about a haunted house around here. I said, oh yeah, there's lots of haunted places. Said, let's go. Let's go check out all the haunted houses. So we piled up two cars full of my college buddies, and we drove around this small town trying to find all these haunted places. And we'd go down Creek Road where Charman is, and you know, he was the ghost that, you know, you see him and he's like burnt and flames and smells like burnt flesh and stuff. And of course we go down there, we don't see any ghosts, and oh, one of them's getting scared. We go down to the haunted bridge, and when we get to the haunted bridge, I turn off the car and turn off the headlights. Like, oh, stop it. Da, da, da. No, these are big college guys, and they're, you know, shaking in their boots. And so we go to, you know, another house that was built on an Indian graveyard, and everyone's getting scared. No one wants to get out of the car. And, you know, I'm just, you know, this is this and that is that, and telling them all the story about it. And then one of our friends looks at me and he says, let's go to a scary place. I said, these are all scary places. They're haunted. And he goes, no, 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 no. Let's go to a real scary place. I want to go to one that even scares you. And I went, okay, here we go. Follow me. So we get in the cars and we drive down to the river. And see, in this town, there's these tunnels that go underground, and they've got them in Ventura too, where all the water from the gutters and the drainage and everything drains into these tunnels under the ground, and it all empties out into the river bottom. And so, you know, it's just the flood control system that we've got. And so these tunnels that go literally for 2 miles underground, probably about 7 feet tall, maybe at least 10 feet wide, huge tunnels, completely pitch black. When I was a kid, we used to go down there and we'd have fun and we'd catch bats and things like that. It was great. Never got rabies. I don't know how. And luckily. And but there was always these rumors that, you know, gangs would go down there and it was a gang hideout, or there would be drug dealers, or there would be some kind of satanic cult down there doing an animal sacrifice. And, you know, or we, you know, we were always afraid we might stumble upon a homeless person that was sleeping in there. And so that place always gave me the heebie-jeebies. Now, we always had those rumors going around that, you know, that made it scary. But the real scary thing was when you went inside and it was completely pitch black and you were cut off from the outside world. You just be standing there, and I don't know why we never brought flashlights. We never brought flashlights. I guess that took the fun out of it. We'd go in, and you'd be looking, and you think you'd see something. Your eyes play tricks on you. You're like, oh my goodness, I think I saw a hand. I think I saw someone go like this. I don't want to go over there. And then you hear, you know, water dripping, drip, drip from the gutters. And you're like, what is that? There's a sound. You think you hear people talking at the other end, and you start, and you just, and everybody's, I don't want to. So we go down there, and we get to the entrance of this tunnel where it empties out into the river. And, you know, a little bit of water's pouring down. So I'm telling them all about it and what we used to do and why, you know, scares me. And so my friend goes, all right, let's go inside. And I said, no, nobody's going inside there. I'm like, come on, let's go. I was like, no, don't. And we're listening, and I was like, I think I hear something in there. And I'm looking in there. I was like, someone's in there. You guys don't go in there. And they're trying. I was like, get in the car right now. We're all going back to the church right now. And we all got in the car, and we went back. And we got back, and someone says, it looks like he's seen a ghost. And I said, shut up. Just everybody go to sleep. We got to do a lot of work in the morning. And so one of my other friends said, you were really scared. And I was like, well, you know, he's like, no, no, no. I've never seen you scared before. We go to Magic Mountain. You know, we do all kinds of crazy things. I pledged with you for 5 weeks. I've never seen you scared. You were really, you know, scared. I said, yeah, I know. And even though I'd been in there before, even though I grew up around there, even though I wasn't even that scary when I was a little kid because I didn't know what to be afraid of or scared of. That's what we used to say. I was terrified. And these apostles that are with Jesus, even though they know the Sea of Galilee like the back of their hand, they think they're going to die. In other accounts in the Gospels, I think Mark says that Jesus was asleep on a cushion in the boat, you know, and these boats actually had little compartments where you can kind of go underneath. And so the water's coming in, they think they're going to drown, and Jesus is just sleeping. And they wake him up and they say, don't you care if we die? Of course he cares if they die. It's kind of more like, aren't you going to do something? Get a bucket, help us out, we're all going to drown. Do something. And he gets up. And I used to always picture, you know, whoosh, where he just kind of smooths everything over and it's the sea is like glass. But it says he rebukes the storm and he rebukes the wind. He yells at the storm and says, stop it! And it stops. It listens. It works. I'm going to try that on you guys later. Yeah, if your folks say that when they get home, you better listen and stop. And so, they're amazed, and they're still kind of scared that even the weather, even the natural disasters do whatever Jesus says. Even they listen to the Son of God. Now, after Jesus calms the storm. They get to shore. And in verse 26, it says, they sailed to the region of the, I always have trouble pronouncing this, Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but he had lived in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want from me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him. And though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken the chains and he'd been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on a hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into him, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd of pigs rushed down the steep embankment into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this to the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got in the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Okay, so apostles are scared. They thought they're going to die. Jesus bosses the sea around and the winds and the waves. Calm, they get on dry land. I can just picture them getting out of the boat and kissing the ground. Like, yes, thankfully we're safe. And then they look up and see crazy psycho naked man running towards them. Ah! Get back in the boat. You know, getting out of the boat, like, oh, it feels good to be on solid ground. Why are we in a graveyard? Oh, no. You know, scary again. Now this man that was demon-possessed, even these evil demons inside this man knew who Jesus was. Even those demonic creatures that were possessing him and making him and live a horrible life and ruining his life, they said, "What do you want with me, Son of God Most High?" They said, "Please don't send us to hell. Please don't torture us. Please don't torment us. I've got a great idea. Let us go into those pigs." And Jesus let them. But this man had lived such a horrible life, was cured by Christ. Now Jesus says, whoever, when you listen to him, whoever has will be given more. Can you imagine what that man had at one point in his life? Living in a nice town around the Sea of Galilee? Can you imagine what he had lost when all these demons went inside him and took control of his body? His family, his friends, his job, his life. A lot of us might live in towns where we see crazy psycho man on the street corner. Hopefully not crazy psycho naked man. That'd be even more disturbing. You know, where I live downtown, there's the regular ones, my favorite burger stand. There's the regular crazy guy that sits in the corner and has an argument with himself every day. Harmless, no big deal. And you see people walking up and down the streets and you wonder, how did they get here? Whether it was a psychological disorder, whether it was falling on hard times, whether it was just having a lot and then losing it and never being able to bounce back. Everybody's got a story. Everybody that you come in contact with, whether they're crazy or they're homeless or they're having a horrible time in their life, they all had something and they all lost it. And we know this crazy guy had friends because they, even though he was demon-possessed, they tried to help him. They tried to chain him up. They tried to keep him from hurting himself, and nothing helped. He ripped off the chains. He wandered around in the graveyard. cutting himself and screaming and yelling at all hours of the night. Nobody could even be around him except for Jesus. Jesus is the only one that was willing to approach him. And even though all the apostles are scared, he healed him. The voice of truth healed that man of every problem he ever had. Think about everything he had lost. And now he was cured. You know, I often wonder what it would be like going back in the time of Christ and seeing something miraculous happen, you know? Whether it was being part of that free lunch where he fed over 5,000 people. Whether it was seeing Jesus walk on the water. That would be amazing. And I always say, you know, I think Bible times people had it easy. There were all these great things happening. Whether it was Moses turning his staff into a snake and then picking it up and turning it back into a staff, or the Red Sea parting, or, you know, these great miracles that Jesus performed. I would think, if only I saw one of those, I would never doubt ever again in my life. You know? If only once I saw fire come down from heaven and burn something up on earth, I go, okay, I believe you. There's no question. You know, if I was suffering from something in my life that I thought there was no remedy to, and Jesus just touched me and I was all better, no questions asked ever again. I will do whatever you say for the rest of my life. But you know what? He's not here healing people physically anymore. He's not here walking on water anymore. What we have is the Word of God. What we have is Christ right here with us, and it's up to us to listen. It's up to us to hear, to listen, to apply that to our lives and take it to heart. You know, sometimes looking back at these miracles, I wonder, okay, the apostles were scared and frightened for their lives. They thought they were going to die. Boom, saved. Calm the storm. You'd think they'd go from that day to every day of their life telling someone, hey, I've never met you before. Let me tell you about the time I almost died, but Jesus saved me. I know I would every single day of my life. My own family would be like, please stop telling that story. We're tired of hearing it. Please. They still do that today with more boring stories. But then I wonder what's probably more powerful than seeing some miraculous power that Jesus had over nature, but the miraculous power that he had over people and healing them from what they were suffering. The apostles, it took them a long time to figure out what was going on and to be fully committed to Christ. They even ditched him on the day he was executed. Spending 3 years with them wasn't enough for them to figure out and go, okay, I'll be with you no matter what. But this one crazy psycho naked man that everybody in his hometown knew and was afraid of was healed by the words of Jesus. And it says back there in verse 39, he begged Jesus, please take me with you. Jesus says, return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Which one do you think is more powerful and effective? Almost dying in the Sea of Galilee but being saved? Or almost dying from living a horrible life tormented by all those demons and then being healed? That was the man who went and told everybody knew. Can you imagine how powerful that was? If I walked down one block from my street and saw the regular crazy psycho guy that's always sitting on the corner having an argument with himself, one day dressed in a nice suit, cleaned up, and walks up to me and has a normal conversation, I don't want to tell you what's going to go through my mind first. I'm probably going to go straight home and never leave the house ever again. There's nothing wrong with that. It's good. It's normal. He's healed. He's saved. But it's going to make an impact on all those people in that town near the sea. All those people that were friends of this man, who were related to this man, who tried to help him, and there was nothing they can do. Nothing any human being could do. But Jesus could do it and save his life and heal him. I want you guys, encourage you guys to hear and to listen. Sometimes it's hard because of everything that's going around in our lives. We've got friends going one direction. We've got family going in another direction. Everybody's tugging and pulling and trying to say, me, 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 listen to me. Even I'm up here saying, listen to me. Listen to him. When you listen to the voice of truth and when you apply that to your life, then you're going to be given more. Then you're going to become part of God's family. And then you're going to be able to go out in your life and tell so many people and share with them all the awesome things that God's done in your life. I hope this weekend that you guys are really soaking all this in, taking advantage of meeting new friends and hearing words, encouraging words from the Bible and praising God and the time of prayer that we have, so that when you go home, you can share that with your friends and say, hey, how was your weekend? I had the best weekend of my entire life. Let me tell you why. That's my prayer this morning. Let's pray together right now. Father, we thank you for the awesome things that you do in our life. God, sometimes we feel so lost and we feel that there's no way out. And even though we're all here and we all made it in one piece, God, we all have homes and regular lives to go back to in the real world. So, Father, I pray that you'd watch over all of us and keep us safe. And God, help us to be receptive to your word. Help us to love the law that you established, to love the church more, and to be an active part in any way we can. Father, for those of us here that haven't joined your family yet, I want to say a special prayer for those people who may be open to your word. And God, I ask that you would work in their lives and do awesome things so that they can be changed and they can be healed and they can be saved. And then they can go to all their friends and family and share that good news with them. God, help us to remember that you're the one that can calm the storms. That you're the one that can heal the broken things in our life that no one else on planet Earth can fix. God, heal us and touch us. Forgive us. And Lord, I pray that you'll save all of us when that time comes. When your son comes back here to earth, we'll have a chance to live with you forever in heaven. Through Christ we pray. Amen.